Thanks, Tess. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. So to start off with, how exactly does cerebral palsy affect children and what does physical therapy for them actually mean?
Look, that's a great question. The most common presentation of someone who does have cerebral palsy is usually you see it physically. So their hand, their arm, their leg, their ankle just doesn't look and move in the same way that we're almost trained to see how limbs move. You know, we have an understanding of what we think normal is, and it doesn't look normal because it might be clenched up, or it might be a bit flaccid, or it might be very stiff, if that makes sense. So not bending very well at the knee or the ankle or the elbow. So you kind of see it when you first see someone who may have cerebral palsy. And so a lot of the therapy interventions are about trying to get what we call a great range of motion. So you and I can, you know, reach up to the sky, we can stretch out, we can do star jumps. It's about getting that range of motion and about getting those joints to move and those muscles to stretch and control the ends like the hands and the ankles and the feet.
And so you're a developer on this Orbit system, which is aiming to help with through serious games improve physical activity and health. What exactly are serious games?
So when I first started working in this area, someone said to me, "You're actually working in serious games," and I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I had this picture of John McEnroe smashing tennis rackets on the ground, saying, "You can't be serious." But serious games is just a term that they give to any computer game where essentially when you play it, you're not playing to get a high score or to beat your sibling or the person next door you're playing against. But it's a game which actually helps you to develop or improve. And so there's a big area of what we call health gaming to help people with health conditions, leadership and management training. You can go through a serious game where you will get through led through scenarios to train or to hone your management skills. But of course, the interest I have, being a biomedical and rehab engineer, is where it can help people to improve their limb function, limb movement, and parts of their health.
And so what is the history of this Orbit system, and how can it help children with cerebral palsy?
So Orbit probably kicked off in 2011, and it was an idea, a concept that I had here at Flinders for helping children to use their hands. So to unpack that a little bit, when someone does have cerebral palsy, they tend to have what we call a good or a dominant hand, and that's the hand they use all the time. And they have what we call a poor or a non-dominant hand, and that's the one that's more affected by cerebral palsy, and it's the hand which is less used. So a lot of occupational therapists and physiotherapists will try and engage that hand which doesn't get used all the time, because it's like the use it or lose it principle. If we don't use it, well, then we don't get the functionality out of it. So the real nuts and bolts of what I was trying to do was trying to get children who have cerebral palsy and whose hands are affected to actually use and engage their hands in a meaningful way, but in a way that they would actually want to use them. So not forcing them to use it in terms of putting a glove on their good hand and having them only have their poor hand available. And the idea was, well, if we can get them to play computer games, they might want to use it, because everyone loves computer games, and why wouldn't they want to play computer games? The next step was then about getting a controller, which they can use, because obviously that joystick or controller is how they play the games. And so that's where we came up with the idea for this Orbi or Orbit controlling device to then enable them to play all these fantastic games that we've got.
I think you are right. I think everybody does love computer games. So what sort of different genres and different games are there that are able to be played?
So we actually wound it right back and said, well, if we're going to get people to play computer games, we'd like to have complete control over the games they play, because then we can target them to what we know children would want to play. But at the same time, because we're dealing with children who have limited function with their fingers, wrists and hands, we need to be mindful that we can't just give them a game which, for all intents and purposes, is a very fast, action-oriented game which requires, you know, lots of movements, lots of changes of direction, because their hands just might not be able to do that sort of thing when they play the game. So in the way that we actually coded and made the games meant that we could control them, so they had a slightly easier introduction, so you sort of got led into the game at a gentle rate, and then we increased the complexity or the nature of how they played as the game got on and became faster. And then it also meant that we could actually dig into the background of all the games and work out who was playing what game, what the favourite games were, how long they played them for. So we've got driving games, we've got space flight simulator games. We've got games where you guide a squirrel up an endless tree and avoid the tree branches and collect acorns. We've got a puzzle game in a catalogue that we've developed for adults to play games. We've got a version of Tetris as well, which we call Squaretris. So it's a version of Tetris which really just get you to think about where the blocks are falling and how you might place them. So hopefully we've covered off on lots of different genres and interests with the 16 games that we currently have.
And so just before I do let you go, David, do you foresee Orbit becoming a more widely used form of therapy for kids with cerebral palsy?
The answer to that is absolutely yes. And the reason for that is because we've had some really positive results with children with cerebral palsy in terms of engagement, motivation. They didn't want to give the system back to us, which is completely understandable. They wanted to keep it at home. And we've now got proof that the system actually did help improve their hand function, which is great. Just last year, we ran another trial, but with adults who have had a stroke. We trialled it at a rehab centre here in Adelaide, and we got similar positive results in terms of hand function. So we know that we can apply it to adults post-stroke. And then we're looking at other populations where there's a hand impairment. So it might not be because of a condition like cerebral palsy, but if someone's hand doesn't work as well, we know we've got a system that people can use and we can get their hands and fingers moving.
Well, David, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No worries at all. Thanks, Tess, and have a great morning.
You too.